Who was Rip Van Winkle?
The man who slept for 20 years because his neighbors had no radio.
So let's pay that man $8. What is horse sense?
Something a horse has that keeps him from betting on people.
So let's pay that man $9 because
it pays to be ignorant. Here's another half hour with radio's biggest selection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Sheldon, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we bring you that quiz program which only goes to prove that if you ask silly people silly questions, you get silly answers. First, we have that celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Shop Without Annoying the Sales Girl, or The Hand is Quicker Than the Eye. Yes. Here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a nice old Billy Joe that makes people sit and flutter. It doesn't give much milk or cream, but makes a dandy butter.
A dandy butter, I see.
For the best seat driver.
Best seat driver, I see. All right, thank you. Have a woman who has so many double chins, you think she's looking at you over a stack of wheat cakes. A woman who got the giraffe voice from gargling her throat with Dutch cleanser, there she is, Miss Lulu McConnell.
How are you, Lulu Coward? I won a beauty contest once.
You won a beauty contest?
I'll never forget it. They had nothing to there. Went over past by, the opportunity would play, Oh, You Beautiful Doll.
Yes.
And when another girl would pass, they'd play, You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby.
Yeah, what did they play when you passed?
Tell him as you tell. Very appropriate. All right, plus you have a man whose father was a sculptor, and he's been a tinkerer ever since. A man who has to work because he's too nervous to steal, Mr. George Duff. Hey, you know, Mr. Howard, I visited my old man's sister last week.
Oh, you have a sister that never got married?
Yes, she's got a dog that growls, a parrot that swears, a fireplace that smokes, and a cat that stays out all night.
What does she need a husband for?
You don't need one at all.
I can see what you mean. Well, now you've just met the experts, ladies and gentlemen, so keep your opinions to yourself. Here is the first question on tonight's session, see if we can get an answer.
Yes.
Very function. Here's the question. What month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
Mr. Howell, I didn't hear that.
Why didn't you hear it?
I wasn't listening.
Well, that is a good reason, Mr. Clark. The question is, what month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
Well, son, is that the song that was dedicated to Miss McConnell?
Where's the connection? Miss McConnell's name is not June.
I know, but she's busting out all over.
If you were half a lady, you'd be with a circus. Let's get on. The question is, what month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
Who wrote the song, Mr. Howard?
That has nothing whatever to do with the question.
You know, I wrote a song once. I dedicated it to my butcher.
Uh-huh. Dedicated it to your butcher? What's the name of it?
I got plenty of nothing.
Yeah. You know, I used to be quite a singer. Yes, you've heard of the Merry Men?
Oh, sure.
I was Matt.
You were
Oh, that's no different. Oh, the devil is in it tonight.
Yeah, that's just right here. Let's get on. Will you please try and answer the question? I'll repeat it once more. What month is mentioned in the song, June is busting out all over?
You know, I've got a sister named June. Yes, you married a guy named August.
You married a guy named August?
Yeah. And a funny thing, on the 31st day of August, he got kicked in the head by a mule and he died.
Oh, how come you remember it was the 31st of the month?
Because that was the end of August.
That was the end of
August.
The volcano song?
Yes. Lava, come back to me.
Lava, come back
to me. Unintelligible.
Those are the things that give radio a bad name.
I used to sing when I worked for the service.
You what?
I used to sing when I worked for the service.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had a tremendous obligato.
You still got it.
Yes, you have the potential for the sitting down. All right. Oh, that's so. A voice like mine you find once in a lifetime. Yeah, why did you have to find it in our lifetime? You know, when I sang, you often nearly got terribly worried. Why, when I sang shortening bread,
you could smell it.
Well, you can sing anything, you can smell it. Yeah. question what flavoring is used in making a chocolate soda. Now, there's a good hot weather question.
Oh, boy, I like hot weather questions.
You know, I went into a drugstore this morning. I said to the girl, give me a cup of soda without chocolate ice cream, you see? So the girl said, I'm sorry, but I haven't got any chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, what did you say?
I told her to give it to me without vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did you like that?
Well, I didn't like it. I'm sorry I didn't ask for it without strawberry ice cream.
I see. You probably wouldn't have liked the straw. Let's get on there. We're not talking about chocolate sodas, only the flavors.
What? Wait for a minute. What became of the other question?
What other question?
The one about the hot weather.
There wasn't any question about hot weather.
What do you mean? There certainly was. You said right at the start. Here's a hot weather question.
Wait.
Now, don't you deny it or I'll punch you off the nose. Now, don't deny it.
Why, Johnny, guys, you did say that.
Yeah.
I got in.
You got in?
Yeah.
Have you got anything between them? I said the question I asked was a hot weather question. The question is not about hot weather.
You know, Zahar, I don't like hot weather.
It's so hot down at our house. I got my old man to bring home a thermometer to the first floor.
A thermometer?
But, yeah, but it's no good.
The thermometer is no good. What's the matter with it?
Well, one day it says 80, next day it says 90. It's all dependent.
I see. Get to 100, Sal. Let's get out of this.
Let's know. Let's see. The weather sure is funny. One day it's hot, the next day it's cold. It's got this, I don't know what to hot.
You don't know what to hot. Listen, you three buffoons, I'm going to answer the question.
Oh, Mr. Hahn, my word, did you say buffoon? Buffoon. That's a musical instrument, isn't it?
No, that's bassoon.
Oh, no. A bassoon is a big monkey, like a gorilla.
That's baboon.
What you call it about a baboon is a big rubber ball. You know, you blow them up.
No. That's the balloon, a big bag of hot air.
Now we're back to Mr. McConnell again.
Come to our confession. So while Mr. Robinson's getting the folks up, here we go from the ridiculous to the ridiculous. We have an officer who never look at their leader because they can't stand his face. An artist who tried to play the classics from memory, but they haven't any memory or any class. Here they are, Dr. Novick and his orchestra.
Our first suggestion, Mr. Howard, is Staff Sergeant Michael Ruggiero of the United States Army.
Well, that's right. Good evening, Staff Sergeant Maduro. It certainly is a pleasure, and thanks you a lot for coming up. How do you feel? That's good. You certainly do look it. You're a swell hunk of soldier, I must say. Well, where's your hometown, would you try to tell us?
Astoria, Long Island.
Astoria, Long Island. Good old Astoria. That's just the babies cry for it. Astoria.
Astoria, Long Island.
Well, plow me under and call me Brett. I love you.
I used to work in that town. No kidding, I was a baseball player in a candy factory.
You were a baseball player in a candy factory?
I used to pop a cloud.
You mean you used to draw a cloud? Pay more attention to the nerves, that Sergeant. They'll go away any minute now. Are you married?
I am.
Oh, you're married. Well, you're going to school.
Yes, sir.
You know, Sergeant, I was in the last war, you know. I was a mess lieutenant.
Well, you're a mess lieutenant. You mean a mess sergeant?
I do not. I mean a mess lieutenant. Every time the colonel saw me, he said, "Lieutenant, you're a mess."
How long did you say you were in the service?
Well, up until the time I was.
I noticed that, Sergeant, though, you had quite a lot of ribbons on you there. From here, I can see you've got the Pearl Harbor ribbon and the good conduct. Is that right? And what are those other two?
Corporal ribbon with six battle stars and the Brown Star Medal.
Wow, you're going to laugh. You deserve every bit of that applause. And we are certainly very glad to have you with us this evening.
Sure. What's your first name, honey?
Mike.
I will call you Mike.
Yeah,
I'll be there. I have a brother named Mike. Would you like to like Mike?
Yeah, I like it.
I love it. I mean, that's so much Brooklyn.
I've got a question for the experts to stick around. And when you get a hold of one, Mike, just read it right into the microphone, if you will. Take your time.
What musical instrument is mentioned in the old expression, playing second fiddle?
Thank you. Very good. No help from the audience, please. What musical instrument is mentioned in the old expression, playing second fiddle?
Mr. Hart, you mean violin, doesn't it?
I miss it a lot. My name's General.
Well, what did you mean? Violin or fiddle?
You pay $5 for it, it's a fiddle. You pay $5,000, it's a violin.
But I think the violin sounds much better than fiddle.
Who's violin? Whose violin sounds better than whose fiddle? Now, look, when you start fiddling around, it's nobody's fiddle.
I must be somebody's fiddle.
Look.
Here, just all these fiddles lying around.
Most of the Thornton just said the violin sounds better than fiddle.
All right. All I said was, who's violin?
Listen, gentlemen, look. Let's take it this way. Look, you have a fiddle.
And I'm where I got it.
Yeah.
I don't know
why you got it. That's the point. How do you know I got it? I don't know about it. It's just a supposition.
I thought you said it was a
fiddle.
Why don't
you bore a hole in your head and let the sap run out?
You started this, Mr. Garden. I did, but all I said was violin sounds much better than fiddle.
Yeah, okay.
Have you got a violin, Mr. Mountain?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's the point.
How could you say your violin sounds better than my fiddle if you have a violin?
Look.
And you never heard my fiddle.
Look.
Well, where did you get your fiddle?
Mr. Howard gave it.
I didn't have it. You took it, too. I took it up from the town.
Can I say something here?
Wow, please.
Can you tell me the whole fiddle?
Look at him. You said you have a fiddle.
That's right. You gave me the fiddle, and now you want to take it back, you old Indian giver.
Will you stay out of this, please? When I said you had a fiddle, I was just elucidating.
So what? I'm conspiring myself. You're the only one that's
walking
around
here. Now, please, get back to the question.
All I said was,
I know all you said. Violin sounds better than fiddle. Now, forget it. The question is, what musical instrument is mentioned in the old expression, playing second fiddle? Do any of you know anything about musical instruments?
Well, I don't, but I got an uncle in Venice that plays the gondola.
You don't play the gondola.
You don't?
No, you throw it over your shoulder like a shawl.
Oh.
Howard.
You're as sad as he is, Mr. Gorton.
Huh?
You don't know a thing about musical instruments.
Mr. Howard, I do, rather. I have a whole collection of musical instruments.
Oh, you are? Would you mind naming a few?
With pleasure. I have a clarinet, a trombone, saxophone.
Have you got a fife?
I've got a fife and six kids.
Oh,
our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is a very attractive and charming young lady, pharmacist mate, third class, Florence Chadwick of the Wave.
Oh, wow. Good evening, Miss Chadwick. We are sure very happy to have you with us. How do you feel, Miss Chadwick?
That's fine.
You certainly do look at you. Where is your hometown, Miss Chadwick? What do you call it, Carol?
Don't tell him. He's just being nosy.
Why, you cut it out, please. Pay no attention to her, Miss Chadwick. She's just out on a 3-hour pass. You know what I mean? They'll take her back any minute. A man Johnny calls at this time with a white coat. How long have you been in the service, Miss Chadwick?
Come to mind,
John. I'm not about to miss this, boys.
Stop taking passes off
to the test. How long have you been in the service?
Since last October.
I suppose you like it.
I love it.
Ah, you do. All the girls come up here and say the strange thing. We said we are glad to have you.
I've got an awful headache.
Oh, that's a play. What did you do before you went into service?
I worked at Doubleday Dairy Publishing Company.
In what town? Where is your hometown, by the way?
Laurel Park, Long Island.
Well, that's good. Laurel Park. I suppose you knew that Miss McConnell happens to come from Flower Park.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Of course, the Chamber of Commerce down there won't like to hear that, but nevertheless, you did.
Well, that's you to say
that. I see. Okay.
Is that where you used to work at a bookshop, Mr. Howard?
In a bookshop, I believe it was, wasn't it?
That's right.
A bookshop.
That's nice, you know.
Yes.
You know, yesterday I read a book.
You read a book.
I read the book panel from cover to cover.
Uh-huh. Did you enjoy it?
No. No loving.
No.
$1,000 worth of insurance.
Your old man did?
Yeah.
When did he take it out?
Yesterday? I guess it was.
Oh, was it last week?
I think it was yesterday, but I got confused because it was another time that someone else.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Now I have to keep telling you to be careful when it goes out.
No, he won't have to.
I'm not going to break his neck.
Hey, Mr.
Howard.
Right.
You know,
this Patterson
reminds me of my girlfriend.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. You have a girlfriend?
Oh, nice girl. Very economical.
Yeah.
She made a dress for herself out of some old drapes.
Uh-huh.
I took her to the theater the other night when the old Sahara got curtains going up. She's painted. If you know your baby, maybe I'll just find her here and reach into the gun shop and pick out a question for us, please. And when you get one, will you be kind enough to read it right into the microphone if you will?
How many words are there in a 10-word telegram?
Very good. How many words are there in a 10-word telegram?
Who's the hard? Who's the telegram for?
Mr. McCartney, what difference does that make?
It makes a lot of difference. I mean, there's no sense in the telegram. You don't know who it's for.
Really, Mr. Howard, what did he say?
I said he wrote a telegram.
Well, how do you expect us to know how many words are in a telegram you didn't get?
See, wouldn't you? The dumbest talk I think I ever heard.
The question is, how many words are in a 10-word telegram?
I got a telegram last week on my birthday from my
insurance
company.
Well, really, Patola, what did you say?
Said, happy
birthday.
You
threw it
again.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah,
you
got it.
I got it, Patola.
You know, I don't send
telegrams.
I send
postcards
all across the state.
I see. In France, they only cost 3 cents, and they're worth it, too.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Sometimes I send a letter. Tell Mr. Howard, I send a letter to Dave. You think it'll be in Philadelphia tomorrow? Why,
certainly.
Well, that's funny. Hey, what's funny about it?
It's addressed
to Chicago. Why would you like to send my
dinner? Why don't you like your age? Well, when you lose my junior female dad,
look, the
price
is not about letters.
I've been thinking about letters, Mr. Howard. My wife is sore because she found a letter in my pocket this morning.
What'd you do, forget the letter?
No, I forgot to burn it.
Thank you.
we'll be reminded by our good friend, Mr. Pelosi, that our time is up. So we'll just have to postpone our clam bake until this time next week. Finally, with us, we'd love to have you. Now, here's that reject from the Metropolitan Opera Company to tell you what we mean when we say...
It's a...
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Noodle McConnell, George Shelton and Harry McNaughton, that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio.